Oh geez, converts, hockey fans, what's going on? This is the Leafs Convo podcast for Vanguard Northeast Realty in Scarborough. I'm your host, Norman James. So it's the day after. How do you feel? Hungover or revitalized? That wasn't so bad, was it? Let's process everything. We'll talk about the Knicks to the Maple Leafs, and we'll obsess over the looming showdown with the Bruins. Mike Augello standing by. So what do you say? Let's pod. The Leafs Convo starts now. The Leafs Convo is brought to you by Vanguard Northeast Realty. With over 15 years' experience, Vanguard provides superior level of service for commercial real estate tenants and owners. For more information, visit vanguardne.ca.
And we have linked up with the man, the myth, the magic, the one and only, Michael P. Augello. Happy post-NHL trade deadline day.
Thanks, Norman. How's it going? Yeah, it was a long day. Did 5 hours on Hockey Buzz doing our webcast, deadline webcast, and it was challenging since we had no power in the Buffalo area. So I was doing it with the Wi-Fi, or not sorry, with the hotspot for my phone, streaming the video. It was a challenging few hours.
Bless you, Buffalonians, Mike. Speaking of Buffalo, your Sabres, a 5-3 loser to the rival Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena. Another Sabres-Leafs affair. They're always fun, interesting, challenging, but the Leafs came out on top. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's troubling, again, that, you know, it's great that you have a team like the Leafs who can turn it on and score, you know, four goals in a clump in the second period and, you know, overcome another slow start. But I continue to bang away at the fact that this team just does not seem to be able to get off to a quick start in a game and falls behind. And, you know, Jack Eichel scores a power play goal late in the first period, gives the Sabres an early advantage. And then, you know, the Leafs did come back and they stormed them and they got production from their fourth line and everything was good. But the slow start is a problem. And then once they get the 4-1 lead, they sort of sit back and allow Buffalo to score a late goal in the second period and an early goal right off the faceoff in the third. And then the game, which, you know, they're playing a team that is out of the playoffs right now, a team that they should beat. They were, you know, they were in that game and it was in doubt. The outcome of the game was in doubt for most of the third period.
The Leafs can knock them down, Mike. We know that. But they have trouble knocking teams out. And I think it's just all part of the growth process. They know how to get a lead. They know how to be dominant. They just don't know how to sustain that dominance and put their opponent away. So the question is, can they mature in rapid fashion enough to get into the playoffs and beat the Boston Bruins? Because that's what the focus is right now. I'm not so sure that's the case. However, if they did beat Boston, it would be a huge milestone in this process towards where the Leafs are trying to get to, and that's win a Stanley Cup.
Well, it's clear that, you know, the path that the Leafs took on deadline day and in the days leading up to it, and I heard Kyle Dubas's comments after the deadline that, you know, they were comfortable with the group that they were bringing into you know, at the post deadline and into the playoffs. And I mean, I understand his confidence. There's a lot of lot of talent there, and but it's going to be now, and it appears to be, it's going to be trying to overcome the muscle and the hitting and the antagonism of the Bruins with the skill and the speed of the Leafs. And, you know, the Leafs, I mean, you saw the game on Saturday where, you know, there was definitely an edge to that game with Montreal, but that's a team that's smaller than the Leafs and play similar styles. They rely on speed, and, you know, Boston doesn't play that game. It's going to be Chara. It's going to be Marchand. It's going to be, you know, big guys hitting, and the Leafs are going to have to overcome a contrasting style. And they weren't able to do it last year, but they may be a better team this year. But I don't think that they're as prepared to combat that as they were last year with guys like Komarov and Kadri and Pollock on the roster.
The Leafs 6-3-1 in their past 10. That's good. But Boston 8-0-2. Tampa 9-0-1. So the best keep getting better at a very, very crucial time. On Kyle Dubas talking up the team that he has. I mean, he's not going to disparage his crew. He's not going to sell his players short. When he's throwing out Martin Marincin as, you know, a possibility or a guy that he's counting on to help embolden the defense, those are talking points. He's going to bring that up. You never want to devalue your players. I think deep down, he understands a guy like Martin Marincin is not going to be involved in a blue line that wins a Stanley Cup.
Oh, well, thankfully, Martin Marincin is relegated to the AHL and will stay there in perpetuity. So, I mean, you know, if injuries happen, then, you know, I think Igor Ozaganov or Justin Hall are going to be the ones to step into the lineup. And but, you know, they could have gone out and added. I'm glad that they didn't trade for Adam McQuaid because I thought he was a limited player. And like I think I said on a previous convo, the guy who likely would have sat if they would have acquired Adam McQuaid or Ben Lovejoy probably would have been Travis Dermott, and I think that would have been ill-advised. Now, it did sound like from the rumors that I heard before the deadline that Connor Brown might have been in play, that Jake Gardner as an expiring contract may have been in play if they were able to get the top four defensemen that many people thought that they had a chance to get. That neither one happened. I still think that Connor Brown might be somebody that they may trade in the summer because of him playing fourth line and making over $2 million. And Gardner, I think, is going to walk away like JVR and Bozak, but they decided to stand pat, and well, that was a wise move.
When you have too many of the same guy, you have to move those guys out and get guys you don't have, Mike. So the Leafs go out and acquire a couple of Knicks, Nick Petan and Nick Baptiste. Nick Petan is a guy we've seen do some fun stuff on the world junior level with the Jets. You know, he's got some good metrics, some good upside. Where do you think he fits into the process here, Mike? Is this just... You know, is it kind of a mechanical trade, or do you think that Kyle Dubas believes Nick Petan can be something effective for the core going forward?
I think that Petan is a more effective winger than Par Lindholm. Par Lindholm, while, you know, playing on the fourth line, he's playing out of position. Because obviously Babcock favors the size of Freddie Gauthier, and Gauthier had one of his best games of the year last night against the Sabres, but you know, he's got 3 goals all year. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, a dramatic upgrade from Gauthier to Par Lindholm, but Petan can play center and can play wing, but is effective in both positions, and he is very fleet of foot. So Lindholm is an average skater, good penalty killer, but they have enough players that can kill penalties. So I think it was a mild upgrade, and you know, he has some NHL experience. So I mean, I think he's basically a 13th forward. I mean, we'll see what's going to happen when Nazem Kadri comes back from his concussion. More than likely, Trevor Moore is going to go back down to the Marlies. But whenever Trevor Moore has come up, he has played really well, and I think we know that he's going to be on this roster next year. But I just think Petan is essentially a 13th forward. And the funny thing is, they added somebody who basically they had in Josh Levo. Not in terms of style, but in terms of the fact that they're waiver ineligible, meaning they'd have to clear waivers to go back down to the Marlies. So that was the problem that Petan had with Winnipeg. They may have wanted him to send him down to the AHL, but they would probably have lost him on waivers. So, you know, they swap Lindholm, who can actually go down to the minors on waivers. Mm-hmm. Petan is, I think, just an more experienced NHL 13th forward.
Alas, the Par Lindholm era in Toronto has concluded. Looking back on such a magical time, Mike, what Par Lindholm moment means the most to you?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
So, looking back on the trade deadline, you know, we're excited. We want something big to happen, but it's very complex. Big players, blockbusters don't necessarily happen anymore, Mike. With the salary cap era, it's difficult to make those kinds of deals. You can't freewheel. Now we're past it. Are we thinking, you know what, we're glad that Kyle Dubas didn't do anything too drastic?
Well, let's say this. I don't agree with the premise that the blockbuster is over with, because I consider the Mark Stone deal with Vegas a blockbuster. I mean, they got him signed for 8 years, $9.5 million. Ottawa was in a situation where they had to move these guys or lose them for nothing. You know, that's a big move for Vegas. That's a big forward who was an impact player. There were other moves that were, you know, draft picks and prospects for players like Kevin Hayes and Wayne Simmons and Michael Granlund. I mean, so those aren't like, you know, the deals in the past, like Buffalo and Detroit, or the Palafon-Tain deal back in the day. But
Owen Nolan to the Leafs,
or Owen Nolan, yeah. I mean, if you're or Dougie Gilmore with Calgary. I mean,
yeah. I'm thinking pre salary cap, Mike.
Yeah,
it's not as easy to throw players around anymore because whoever you take on, you're taking on that salary, and it has to fit within the confines of the salary cap. That's what I'm getting at. We know Mark Stone, you know, he's right up there with Gordie Howe, but you know what I'm saying though, Mike?
Yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between blockbuster and impact. I think there were a lot of impact made yesterday. But I mean, I think there was room for an impact move. I mean, there were indications that the Leafs were in on Michael Ferland until the end when Carolina decided not to move him. You know, there were some indications that they were still in on Brandon Montour before he got traded to Buffalo. It's possible, you know, there was such a string of scouting things going on between Carolina and Toronto that you could see that going on in the off season. I think basically Dubas said, I don't see a move that's going to significantly move the needle that I can make before 3 p.m. on Monday. So he decided to stay with what he had. But I still think based on what they do in the postseason, there could be something coming. And I know that Brian Burke on Sportsnet yesterday made comments that he believes Nylander is going to be gone. And, you know, he's starting to play better, starting to play like the Nylander we had seen before. And he is playing center and he's impressing. I think that just increases his value and the possibility that he could be moved for the defenseman that the team needs. And if they fall short, if they lose in the first round because of defense, then that's going to be Kyle Dubas' marching orders in the summer, is to get that defenseman that they've needed for 3 years.
Fans in Toronto love William Nylander in the same overzealous, unnecessary way that Habs fans used to love Alexei Kovalev. They used to call him, what, Largeist or whatever? And look, Nylander, whether he stays or goes, he's going to be a benefit to the Maple Leafs on the ice or as a major asset in a trade. This is the Leafs Combo for Vanguard Northeast Realty. Any final thoughts, Mike, on this team pushing forward? OGs and converts reaching out to us on social media platforms, wondering if the Leafs, as they're constructed right now, just have to go at Boston in the playoffs, slay the dragon, get past that hurdle, and move forward. I believe that they have to take the game to Boston. And I don't know if they're going to outrun Boston's stalking physical play or try to go toe-to-toe with it. But it one way or the other, they have to push forward, get past Boston, put that in the rear view, and, you know, take the next step. The question is, can they?
Well, I mean, Don Sweeney didn't stay idle. He added Coyle last week. But he added Marcus Johansson from New Jersey, which is not an insignificant addition. You know, so, you know, they bolstered their top nine. You know, we don't know how long Pastrnak is going to be out, but, you know, more, he's going to be back for the playoffs. It's just a question of how much of Pastrnak will there be. So they were able to provide some relief to that, to the weight on that top line of Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak. And that was all you could really expect from them. So, I mean, right now it's a 1-point race. Even in games, Boston's up by 1 point. They don't play the Bruins again the rest of the regular season, so it's going to be sort of watching the scoreboard. I think the Leafs' schedule is, you know, not difficult. I mean, they play Buffalo, I believe, one more time. They play Edmonton this week. I mean, the teams that they should beat. But sometimes this team has trouble beating the teams that they should beat. So it's going to be up to them to get home ice advantage. I think will be a big thing, but in the end, it's going to come down to the big players playing big: Matthews, Tavares, Marner, and getting goaltending out of Freddie Anderson. Mm-hmm. And I think before the end of the year, they have to get Freddie Anderson a little bit of a break because he's played, I think, now five games in a row, or five or six. And mm-hmm. you just can't have this guy playing all these games, but the drop-off from him to Garrett Sparks is a chasm.
Yeah, no question. Freddie Anderson is – the guy's money. I love him. And he's just – he's got that competitive spirit that I'd like to see the rest of his teammates carry. And if that were the case, if that is indeed the case, I think the Leafs can beat Boston. Look, no matter what happens in this series with the Bruins, because that's what we're expecting and that's what we're anticipating, and that's what needs to happen for the Maple Leafs. No matter what happens, if the Leafs are at their best and Boston's at its best and the Leafs lose in a knock them down, drag them out seven gamer where, you know, the seventh game isn't the Leafs starting slow, then you just have to say that the Leafs aren't ready. But if it's a situation where the Bruins have come to play, they step on the gas from the first puck drop and the Leafs are lost or confused or just not ready, that's going to be a major problem, because I don't know how you can overcome that. I don't know how you can develop out of that. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of the games that the Leafs are playing throughout the season. Right about now, they start slow, they get behind, then they have to come back, and they have that capability for sure, Mike. It's just, can this team construct a 60-minute game, impressive effort after impressive effort, and get on a roll? Because we think they have the talent for it. On paper, they certainly do. Maybe we'll see this team at its very best when it means the most. Last word to you.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the thing that we have to discover over the last 6 weeks of the regular season. But, you know, really, it doesn't seem like it's going to shift much. You know, if they had lost to Montreal, Montreal would have been 1 point behind them. Now there's a healthy gap. I think mm-hmm. it's 7 points now. So, you know, it's going to be Boston and Toronto. They've faced each other before. We know the difficulties. Mm-hmm. We know the problems. Now it's just a question of whether the Leafs can overcome those difficulties and problems.
Mike, we know based on the Leafs' goal differential, plus 45, that this team should be in the upper echelon. The fact that teams like Montreal are hanging around is a testament to the Leafs just not playing to their full capabilities. Before we go, just a couple of shout outs, Jeremy Scott and Justin Wolf King on Twitter, corresponding with us. Jeremy Scott asked if we're happy with Dubas. Justin thinks that, you know, this is a big moment for the Maple Leafs coming up, an opportunity to slay the dragon in the Boston Bruins. We shall see what goes down. Mike, we'll talk soon.
We would like to thank Vanguard Northeast Realty in Scarborough, title sponsor of the Leafs Convo, demonstrating passion for the industry and a superior level of excellence in selling, leasing, and marketing your property. Vanguard Northeast Realty. Alrighty, that's a wrap for us for now. Get at us inside the YouTube comment section and get ready for more convo to come. For Mike, I'm Norm. We out.